All right. As we mentioned in the intro, you got to be doing something right if you do 116 of them, one each year. And certainly the Connecticut Agriculture Experiment Station has been delivering success for that length of time and more. As a matter of fact, 151 years of putting science to work for society. And we're so thrilled to have Dr. Jason White on the program. He's the director of the station. We are going to be talking to him about this upcoming 116th Plant Science Day, as well as a number of other important things that they're working on. We'll get right into that conversation. We just want to take you from the greater New Haven area down to Bridgeport and the Hall Neighborhood House. You know, the Hall Neighborhood House has served as the so-called heart of Bridgeport since 1886, another tried and true organization. And as they celebrate their 140th year, they're inviting the public to come out and share the excitement during an open house. It's coming up this Wednesday, July 22nd from 11 to 1. Come and meet their incredible staff and volunteers and learn whether the Hall Neighborhood House has something for you in its early childhood or youth programs, its senior services, STEM learning initiative, or its health and wellness offerings. Come out on July 22nd or learn more at hallneighborhoodhouse.org. All right. Thank you once again for joining us, Dr. White. Okay to call you Jason?
Yep.
Very
Jason's
good.
Great.
Excellent. So, yes, 151 years. Congratulations for being at the helm to go into the second half of a century and a half of service.
Yeah, thanks. That was a great introduction. As you noted, 151 years. We were founded in 1875. At the time, it was a new concept. The Ag Experiment Station system was designed so that technically trained scientists could work directly with farmers to help them solve their problems. One of the things that makes us unique as the first Ag Experiment Station, the original state law actually said we had to be independent. Mm. So every state in the nation formed an Ag Experiment Station after us, and every single one was put on a university campus, meaning that all of their scientists are actually professors. But we are an independent state agency. We're civil servants working directly with citizens of the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So it gives us a different mission.
And you have the kind of the mothership down there on Huntington Street in New Haven, but also other public offices. So your outreach is kind of robust for this type of an operation.
Yeah, I would say about 80% of our staff and facilities is in New Haven, but we have multiple other locations. Our second largest location is in Windsor. We have what we call the Valley Laboratory, and we're actually in the midst of a pretty large renovation and new construction project up there because that lab was established in 1921 and was in need of some upgrades. But we also have experimental farms in Hamden and an experimental farm and laboratory out in Griswold.
Fantastic. So 116 consecutive or almost consecutive plant science days going back to the very early days of the station. Tell us just a snippet of the historical lead up and what why folks should consider coming out to this event this year.
Yeah, so our first was actually in the early 1900s. I have a photograph in my office of some of the scientists, and they were all, you know, in suits and ties and hats, and everybody, you know, was dressed up. Mm. So the event is definitely historical. We did miss a few events during World War II and World War I as well, where some of our scientists were serving. But it's been a fairly consecutive event. It's held at our Lockwood Farm, which is in Hamden, Connecticut, right off of Route 10. The event is really designed as our one, you know, our largest public outreach event that we have. We typically get between 900 and 1,100 attendees who come. There's a formal program that starts at 10 a.m. We have a large outdoor pavilion. We have three of our scientists who will give talks of interest for the public. We always have an invited guest who we call our Samuel Johnson lecturer. Samuel Johnson was the founder of the Ag Experiment Station system in the U.S. Mm. This year it's Charlie Nardozzi, who is a Emmy Award-winning writer and speaker and media personality. So he'll be giving the noon the lecture right before lunch. We have food. You know, there are experimental plots that our scientists have spread across the 70-acre farm. There's a bus tour. We have Girl Scout events. There's a hands-on chemistry exhibit that usually attracts around 100 to 150 kids. And we have technical demonstrations and question and answer tents. So basically anything you could possibly want to know about agriculture, the environment, ticks, mosquitoes, food safety, you name it, we have it.
And this is all this is at the Hamden Farm location? Where is it happening?
Yeah, it's the address is 890 Evergreen Avenue in Hamden. Okay. It's free and open to the public. Unfortunately, food's not free, but everything else is everything else is free.
Excellent. Great. So in terms of the folks who are your biggest draw, is it like, you know, kind of students and camps and younger people, or are you actually doing you know, practical work or training there for the general public to be able to improve whatever they're doing to contribute, to the flora of Connecticut?
Yeah, I would say all of the above, actually. I mean, as I noted, we get a lot of kids who come in. We actually hire about 80 or 90 college kids in the summer, so they're out there working with our scientists. Okay. So they're there helping with the exhibits and answering questions. Pesticide credits are available for those that need them. We have a number of tours which will satisfy those credits for those that are looking.
Yeah.
And the question and answer tent, you know, the questions range from, you know, a citizen walking in with their backyard tomato to you know, large nursery growers and other greenhouse operators who have specific questions they need answered. So we try and be there for everybody.
All right. So folks, if you're interested in learning more, both about the experiment station and all the things they do, and we will be talking about those, all important, tick checks and how to treat your specimen so that they can effectively help you with it. Go to ct.gov or, web search the Connecticut Agriculture Experiment Station, and you can, get all the information on this upcoming event and all the things they do, including, and I have to tell you, Dr. White, I usually leave this kind of language to the other morning shows, if you will, on the air, but we've been hearing, as a matter of fact, I could say in the past month, I don't think I've heard the words explosive diarrhea more coming out of the mouths of media spokespeople. So since food safety is your team's forte, I guess we should move to the subject of this condition that is now, you know, impacting dozens and dozens of people, hopefully not many more here in Connecticut, but I guess hundreds to thousands now across the country. Can you give us a quick kind of orientation as to how you are looking at this issue?
Yeah, sure. So food safety in general is one of our largest and oldest programs. Actually dates to the late 1800s when we started testing food for chemical contaminants. State of Connecticut actually has a very good division of labor where here we at the Ag Experiment Station, we handle chemical concerns related to food. So pesticides, toxic metals, arsenic. We have new programs on PFAS and micro and nanoplastics. And we our partners at the Connecticut Department of Public Health, their laboratory handles microbial contaminants. So they are handling the state response. And as of yesterday, I think we're up to about 40 cases in Connecticut of this newest disease outbreak. But we work very closely together on food safety in general. I actually just reached out to the commissioner, Juthani, yesterday to see if we needed to coordinate any additional efforts on this.
Yeah.
So, It's food safety is an issue that never goes away. It's something that the state of Connecticut particularly has a robust program monitoring, not just human food, but also animal food as well, because a lot of our work is actually funded by the U.S. FDA. We're given funding to build the state program so that the FDA doesn't need to be present here. And the FDA regulates both human and animal food.
Well, as a testament to how important folks like you and your team are, up until the last I heard about it last night, the tracing of the possible sources of the Cyclospora parasite that's been impacting so many people across the country and here in Connecticut. And then here I am waking up this morning and seeing that scientists like you and your team have pinpointed a likely source. So, this is why this kind of real science is so critically important. And, sometimes when people are hearing a little bit of bad mouthing about science or the agencies that deliver it, this is evidence to how critically important it is. I'm glad that you are involved and have your hand in working with Commissioner Giuthani to help mitigate future issues here in Connecticut. The other thing we're hearing a lot about are the insects. We'll start with mosquitoes because I believe we identified the first affected mosquito with which condition was it?
Yeah, so this was last week, our first hit for West Nile virus.
West Nile, yes.
So this is a program that we run. It's a mosquito surveillance program that we established in 1999. Actually, I take that back to the early 1990s. And the idea for looking at viruses and mosquitoes is it's a leading indicator for humans. So if you're finding mosquitoes with these human viruses, that's a pretty good indicator that you could be finding them in the human population anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks later. With both state and federal support, we set 108 traps starting May 1st around all four corners of the state and everywhere in between. Those mosquitoes are collected and analyzed for the viruses. West Nile virus, we've pretty much found in the mosquito pool every year since 99. We actually screen for about 6 or 7 other viruses, and the system we use actually is designed that it could pick up something new if something new showed up. So it's not surprising that we've hit West Nile virus already. We may see some others, but that's it's a robust program, and again, that's another one we work very closely with the Department of Energy Environmental Protection as well as Department of Public Health on messaging around that once we find them.
Well, Dr. White, the time has burned very quickly, but I can't let you go without having you reminding people that because everybody is becoming much more tick aware, thanks to you and your team again, and all of your partner health districts and health directors out there who are bringing the message straight to the people in their own communities, and are the recipients of the ticks that people want tested that they send through your lab and others. There is a precisely appropriate way to be able to get the best tick sample once the tick is removed from the person. Can you just walk us through that in about a minute, minute and a half?
Sure. So once the tick is removed, the process is fairly straightforward. You can go to our website and it'll give instructions on how to send them. Specifically, we receive a lot of ticks from health officials, also doctors, but we also have walk-ins. We have an insect inquiry office where any citizen in the state can walk in and drop off the tick. In years past, our tick testing laboratory, we'd get about 3,000 ticks a year, and there used to be a tick season. There is no longer a tick season. We get submissions in January and February. We've been averaging about 6,000 a year now, so almost double. But this year, we're already above 4,000. There are many months to go before the end of the year.
The preservation of the sample, it used to be the old days, you'd stick it on a piece of scotch tape. But there are particular ways you prefer the tick to be handled and transported, which is what I wanted to try to convey before we have to say farewell.
Well, I mean, if it's alive, that's best. But you know, we can, because we're not really looking at the tick directly. We're looking at the disease organisms that it's carrying. Mm-hmm. We can receive it and analyze it in any fashion.
Ah, okay, good.
And we screen for about 5 or 6 different types of pathogens across our different programs.
So no matter how store it and transport it. Whether directly as a walk-in to the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station or to your physician's office or local health department, you can extract the necessary information from it, which was the critical piece, because there are some differing schools of thought on how to most effectively do that. So I thank you for that clarification and the conversation this morning. Dr. Jason White is the director of the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station. He has been helping put science to work for society for the station's 151 years of operation, and hoping you'll come out to their upcoming 116th Plant Science Day or take advantage of all of their other resources. Thank you so much, Dr. White, for the time today.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. See everybody on August 5th.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns, and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.